Well, it's that time of the week when we sit back, we relax a bit, and we try not to be snobbish as we taste a couple of South African wines and cheer and raise our glasses to the weekend, which is approaching. And on the line from Klemdoor, I hope we have winemaker Kobus Berger. Kobus, good evening.
Hi, good evening, John.
Thanks so much for joining us. Much appreciated. And we're going to try your Sauvignon Blanc 2010 and your Cabernet Sauvignon Rosé 2010. Are you one of the first estates to release 2010 wines, or are they to be found elsewhere?
No, they will be found elsewhere. We, especially these two wines, we try and release a bit later because we'd like to give them more contact on the lease. So, no, we are not one of those first release Sauvignon Blancs.
Okay, well, we will no doubt be able to taste the long time that they spent before they were
yeah.
let out of the barrel. Also on the line, I hope, from the Cape, we have our wine guru, Michael Olivier. Michael, good evening.
Hello, John.
Thanks so much for joining us. We've got a white...
Did I hear you say you had Peter Sarstedt in the studio?
We have Peter Sarstedt in the studio.
I'm on my knees. Respect. Oh.
Do you have any requests? No, we don't have time. We have to drink. But yes, indeed. I'll get you his autograph if you like.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And just so both you and Kobus can know what you're up against. In the studio, we have Ian Cruickshanks from Nedbank Capital, Tony Twine from Econometrics, Raymond Parsons from Busa, Jeremy Sampson, the branding bloke, Peter Sarstedt, the guitar bloke, Mike Schussler from Economist.co.za, and David Bullard, the online Newstime bloke. Kobus, tell us where Klemdoor is. It's not one of the brands I know very well, but certainly having a taste earlier of your rosé, you're producing impressive stuff. Where are you located?
Well, Klemdoor is in Robertson. It is on the R317. It's basically the road that leads from Robertson to Bonnievale. The farm itself is actually situated between two very famous estates, De Wetzhoff and Van Leeuwen. So, yeah, that's basically where we are.
And what are you trying to achieve with your wine? Obviously, you're trying to achieve something that will be drunk and enjoyed, but is there any strategy there, or are you just after producing good, gluggable stuff?
No, these two wines, I think, is a good example of serious wines that we try and produce. It's not just an easy coiffure. We're trying to produce real... big stuff, serious wines here with both these, the Sauvignon Blanc and the Rosé. And normally Rosés are perceived to be more of a easy drinking wine, and with this Rosé we've been trying to impress. It's we're trying to have showstoppers here.
Excellent. Well, I think it's about time we tried your wines. Michael Olivier, why don't you talk us through the Klemdoor Sauvignon Blanc 2010?
Great, John. Klemdoor. I see they've got the De Wet family motto there, which is God is our only hope. They're going to need it, putting new wines into the marketplace. But I think these two wines are absolute stunners. I love the Sauvignon Blanc. It's got a lovely sort of creamy green fig, nice sliced melon, lots of sort of river stones bashed together, and then a lovely sort of noble bitterness of grapefruit in the aftertaste. Nice, zippy, fresh, zesty wine. Dry, lovely dry wine too. I would think great with oysters. And I had a salad for lunch, which was apple and camembert and walnuts, and this would have gone perfectly with that as well, I think.
Well, you're a bit late, aren't you? yes, it's lovely, fresh, fruity, light, beautiful for summer days, and We are at last heading out of the winter into
That's
times
true.
When you don't have to cuddle in a sweater before 10 in the morning. But what do I know? Tony Twine, are you enjoying the Klemdoor Sauvignon Blanc 2010?
It's most unusual and pleasantly so. The nose, I'm getting the traditional Sauvignon Blanc guavas and gooseberries. There's a slight smokiness about it in the mouth. Smokiness, slight slate overtones. It's definitely unusual, and it's definitely brilliant.
Peter Sarstedt, are you enjoying this?
Yes, I'm very much enjoying it, especially the Sauvignon Blanc.
Excellent.
I drink a lot of white wine, as is my ilk, and I like it very much. Thank you.
Visiting South Africa, are you impressed by the way in which our wine industry has really come on in the last decade or two?
Yes, I am. I'm very impressed by the with the South African wine.
Brilliant. Jeremy Sampson, how are you enjoying the Clem d'Or Sauvignon Blanc 2010?
John, I have to admit this is a label I'd never heard of before. I Googled it and couldn't find it. So coming to the studio, I looked at the label with great interest. And I must say it's a very sophisticated, very distinctive label. Then one gets to the wine, and Michael was suggesting something that sounded a bit like a Waldorf salad, and I think that would be perfect.
Raymond Parsons.
Well, unlike the country, I think this is a very competitive wine for me. It really appeals to me a great deal. I like the freshness. I like the fact that it's 2010 wine. I think that helps a lot to be able to respond to its freshness. And I like it very much, and I think it's going to be a very competitive wine.
In Crookshanks, do you have any bad puns?
No, but you know, a couple of points that were made, green, bitterness, yes, zesty and light, sophisticated. I think it's going to be a lot better, and I think that it's very good now, and it's one of those white wines that we too often drink too young. I think it will improve with another year or two, and then it will be truly great.
Mm. Mike Chasseau, too young for you, or are you enjoying it?
I'm enjoying it. I think it will do better with age. I really want to buy it. That's as simple as it gets. I'll put my money down on this wine. I'll buy it. I want to know who stocks it.
Well, we'll take 10% and get you in touch. David Bullard, are you enjoying it?
The late great Peter Devereux always said of Sauvignon Blanc, you know, the keynote is the cat's piss on a gooseberry bush. And Michael, I'm sure, will remember that. And this is exactly that. I think it's a gorgeous wine. It looks wonderful in the glass. Fantastic clarity. Gorgeous color. Fantastic on the palate now. And I'd agree with Mike as well. You know, a year or two's time, if you've got the patience to keep it. But it's drinking extremely well now.
Well, Kobersberger, after all of that, I think I should get 10% on everything you say in the future. Presumably, you weren't too unhappy by those comments.
No, that's great. Thanks, guys.
And what sort of quantities do you produce? Are you a boutique winery, or can the stuff be found quite widely?
Well, it's actually a boutique range. Of this Sauvignon Blanc, we only produced 5,000 litres, which is roughly 1,100 six-packs. So, yeah, it's quite a boutique collection.
And do you sell mainly into the local market? Do you export?
Yes. The sales are handled by the owners, Magriet de Wet and Bernard Rappaport. So they mainly at the moment focus on the Gauteng market, these wines, on trade.
Well, you are broadcasting to the Gauteng market, at least 100% of it.
Which shops?
Michael Olivier, why, before you talk us through the rosé, we had this chat last week when we also quite unusually tasted a rosé. We don't drink enough rosés, do we? They're brilliant.
We don't. I mean, you've just got to drink a rosé like this one to realize how really good rosés can be. Cabernet Sauvignon makes a stunning rosé, and I think Kobus has really excelled himself here.
Okay, we'll talk us through it.
Well, it's a wonderfully fruity wine. There's sort of squashed strawberries on the nose, and then lovely full berries on the palate. And there's it's mainly little red berries like raspberries, and there's some cranberry pomegranate there as well. And that flavour just lingers around. This is a serious rosé, and it's sort of it is a glass that you could drink on its own, but it's really something that you want to drink maybe with some sliced cured ham or some kind of dried seasoned sausage or some rare cold beef. Perfect with a wine like this. Absolutely perfect. I think it's a stunner.
Well, Michael, you've got me salivating, and it's difficult to broadcast when you're salivating, but I hear everything you're saying, and having been drinking this for the last hour and a bit, I must say I am mightily impressed. It's a lovely rosé, but what do I know? Jeremy Sampson.
John, I want to come back to your point earlier where you were saying, why don't we drink more of it? I was surprised hearing in France they drink more rosé than white. And in this country, there seems to be almost a stigma attached to rosé from the past. But I think that's changing, and it's wines like this that will change our perception. It's delicious, and for a beautiful spring day in Gauteng, I think it's perfect.
David, should real men, real online columnists, drink rosé?
Look, as a driver of a Mazda MX-5, I feel I can come out of the closet and say that I would be happy to be seen drinking this wine in a restaurant by rugby players. I think Jeremy's got a point. There is a little bit of a stigma to rosé wine. And, of course, you know, if you just explain to people it's halfway between white and red wine, and that's the explanation, I think this is a delicious wine.
Mike Schussler?
Well, I'm probably the stigma, but nonetheless, I think it is a good wine. I did definitely feel the smell of the strawberries and so on. I think it's an excellent wine. I normally don't drink raspberry, so maybe I'll have to go out of the closet and let rugby players see me drinking rosé. I don't know what else to say.
Raymond Parsons, are you enjoying the Clem d'Or Cabernet Sauvignon
Rosé
2010?
I can see me enjoying this with another group of economists, so you know, in a sense one is being very visible about this. But I think
a glass in one hand and a glass in the other hand.
Oh, true, yeah,
true economists getting
absolutely
pissed.
So yes. That one is neutralized in terms of other higher things, so one can enjoy the moment. But what's important in enjoying this moment, I think what's important, and we've had this experience before, we are seeing new products being produced that are now removing the stigmata about the whole rosé profile.
I think he was given vinegar rather than rosé. Well, you're talking about stigmata.
but the fact is that I think what we've been able to do now is I can see the market shifting as far as rosé is concerned, and I've been one of those who've really been quite resistant to it. But I can see now that there is a shift. There is going to be a shift in perceptions and taste about rosé wines, and I think this is going to make a breakthrough.
In Cruikshanks, ideal for a summer braai?
I'm not sure about a summer braai, but perhaps a large fresh fish on the braai, that'd be different. But, you know, aren't we seeing this shift? Initially, rosés were traditionally sweet. Then we had the development of the Blanc de Noir. Boschendahl had a lot to do with that. And now we're seeing a further development, not the same wine, but this is going to open up the whole wine market. I think it's an excellent development. I think it's a wonderful wine to have with almost anything.
Peter Sarstedt, are you enjoying the rosé?
Yes, I am. I'm very encouraged to hear that there is something in the future that leads to rosé. That it's very encouraging that is so.
Tony Twine, where do you go to my rosé? Tell us.
I usually get a little giggle or guffaw out of Michael down in Cape Town when I say you have old-fashioned, old-style South African red wines that muscle their way across the table. This is a rosé that can quietly just muscle its way across the table in that rather old-style Cape red fashion. It's a turnkey rosé, and I think it opens up a whole new vista on the style.
Well, Kubersberger, I think you had unanimous praise here, even from David Bullard, which is quite an achievement. Presumably, you're quite happy with that.
Oh, I'm extremely happy. Thanks, guys. Thanks again.
And tell us, when we come down to Robertson, do you have a tasting room? Do you welcome people? Do people have to make an appointment, or can they just stagger in?
Well, unfortunately, Clem d'Or doesn't have a tasting room. It's all just sold to the trade, so unfortunately not. These wines you can only pick up mainly in restaurants.
Okay, but if somebody's been listening and wants to try one or two of your wines, is there any point of contact you could give us to get one, or do we have to go out for a meal to buy them?
No, I can give you the contact details of Bernardo and Magriet. I think the best is to have contact with Magriet de Wet herself. Her number is 082-567-5197.
Excellent. And if anyone didn't get that number, there is a podcast of this broadcast and a separate podcast of the wine tasting, which you can get on the Classic website. I'm afraid we're out of time. So many thanks to Michael Olivier, our wine guru, to Kobus Bercher from Clem Dore, and, of course, to our studio guests, Ian Cruikshanks, Tony Twine, Raymond Parsons, Jeremy Sampson, the incredibly talented Peter Sarsted, Mike Schussler, and David Bullard. From me, John Fraser, and our whole production team, thanks for your company. I won't be here next week, but Classic Business will, so do tune in to Classic Business, brought to you by Telcom.